third psalm. Psalm 23, commencing to read at the first verse. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. We do trust that the Lord will add his own divine blessing upon this portion from his inspired and infallible truth. Let's just bow our heads in a word of prayer. My text this morning is the last verse of the 23rd Psalm, verse 6. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. In these words, you have a summary of David's hope for the future. Not only the future in the short term, concerning the remainder of his life down here upon this scene of time, although that was in the thoughts, but the future in the long term, beyond this life, into the world that is yet to come, a world that is more real and more lasting than this present world. For David, when he thought about these things, his future in this earth and in the world to come, he said, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. If you look at that psalm, you'll find that at the very first verse, he gives a word of testimony. He says, the Lord is my shepherd. Now, if you stop and think about that, analyze that statement, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. You're dealing here with a divine shepherd. There is only one person who ever lived upon the face of this earth that can take that title to himself, the divine shepherd. And that is the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. Now here's a very important truth, a very important doctrine, that when the Lord talks about being a shepherd, he links it to the fact that he died upon the cross. He links it to his death. And you know, dear friends, when we meditate upon this wonderful psalm this morning, before anybody can say, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want, they have to be able to say, the Lord is my Savior. Because the death of Christ is inexorably linked to him being the shepherd. In fact, you have that wonderful doxology there towards the end of the book of Hebrews, when it speaks in Hebrews 13:20, "Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant." You see, the shepherd is linked to the blood. Let me ask you a question this morning. Is the Lord Jesus Christ your Savior? Have you been to the cross? Are you saved by His grace? Because I have to tell you, and I must warn you, that you cannot say, "The Lord is my shepherd," unless you can also say, "The Lord is my Savior." The fact that He's a Savior comes first. Then, when He's your Savior, you can, with great assurance, you can say, "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want." When the children of Israel sent the spies into the promised land and they brought back the grapes of Eshcol, they were so large, so bountiful, so luscious, so sweet, that they had to put it upon a staff and two men had to carry it. And you can imagine those grapes hanging down from that staff as the two men carried it. You see, all the blessings of this 23rd Psalm hang down from that statement. If you can say, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want," then you can add to it all the mercies, all the blessings that you have here in this wonderful Psalm. Because when the Lord saved David, He kept him. And He not only kept him, but He blessed him. One of the greatest blessings in life is to have the presence of the Lord with you on the onward path of life. The greatest words, I believe, in all of Scripture that any person can hear is, "I am with you." If God says that to you, what a privilege it is. What a privileged person you are if God says, "I am with you." And you know, that's the privilege of all who are in Christ, all who have been to the cross, all who can say, "The Lord is my shepherd," because then all of these blessings here that are announced as you go right on down through the chapter are yours in Christ. And He comes then to this final verse, when, as it were, He lifts everything up into a great anthem of assurance, great anthem of praise and blessing to God. He says, "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." The first thing I want you to notice here about this verse is the believer's anticipation of heaven. I think it's always a good thing, if you're reading the Bible, to meditate upon it and to study it very carefully. Find out who wrote it, if at all possible. Find out under what circumstances was the portion written, and why was it written, and what information you can gather from it. Because when you come to this 23rd Psalm, there's no doubt about it who wrote it. It was written by David, the sweet psalmist of Israel. But when did he write it? Well, there is a conflict of views. Some people believe that he wrote it as a youth. You know, David was a shepherd. He knew what it was as a young teenager to go out into the mountains with the flock. His father sent him out. And from early life, he knew what it was to watch over the sheep day and night. He knew what it was to assume the responsibilities. He even told Saul before he went out to fight Goliath, he said, "There was a time when a lion and a bear came into the flock. And he said, they took a kid. And I went out after them. And he said, with the God's power, I slew the lion and the bear and rescued the lamb. So David knew what it was to be a shepherd. He knew all about the responsibilities. And perhaps it is quite possible that David wrote this psalm when he was a young fellow. As a young man, then, if that were true, as a young man, he could say, I will dwell in the presence of the Lord forever. He had that testimony concerning his future. It's good to see young people here this morning. A young person, all other things being equal, have their lives in front of them. You can make your plans. You can see what you're going to do with your life. You have some idea of what you'll be in life, what occupation you will have, or what profession you will follow. That's all very well and very good and right and proper that you should prepare. But listen. While you're young, remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth. And while you're young, be able to say with assurance that when life is over, I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Have that testimony. I'll tell you why. And you know why, as I will explain. There's many young persons setting out in life, preparing for something that they will never see. Because they've been cut off suddenly, unexpectedly, taken away. Someone has said with great truth, the young may die, and that is perfectly true. David, if he wrote this psalm as a young fellow, he could say at the very beginning of life that I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. He had made his calling and election sure early in life, and that's my recommendation to you, young person, this morning. Perhaps other people might think that David wrote this psalm when he was in middle age, when he was upon the throne of Israel. You know, David was Israel's greatest king. Oh, I know Solomon was the wisest according to the wisdom of the world. I know also he was the richest the world has ever seen. But David was the greatest. Make no mistake about it. He was the man who settled the kingdom. He was the man who laid the foundations. He was the man who established the work of God, the nation Israel. He was the one who fought the battles for Christ. He was the one who defeated the enemies. Again and again he went out as the commander, the captain of the host of Israel to do battle against the Lord's enemies. And perhaps amidst the heat of the day, with all those pressures and responsibilities laid upon him, perhaps he wrote this psalm and penned these wonderful words. And if that were so, then in middle life, in the heat of the day, in the pressures of life, he could say, I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. You know, that's a wonderful privilege. Perhaps I'm speaking to a person and that's your time of life. Family pressures, business pressures, pressures of occupation, responsibilities piling in upon you. Oh, I want to tell you, make sure in the midst of all that goes on around you, the busy life that you may live, make sure that you can say, I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Make sure you can say that. I remember taking the funeral of a man. He was a businessman, a builder. To my knowledge, he would have plenty of money. And he dropped dead. He dropped dead in his 50s. And I remembered his wife standing with me when the coffin was taken out of the house. She said, you know, we had such plans. We were going to do this and going to do that when he retired. And now it's all gone. You see, death can come in middle life. Death can come amidst the pressures of life. Come amidst responsibilities. Oh, be ready. Be ready should the call come unexpectedly. And then some people believe that David wrote this as an old man, and I'm inclined to believe that myself, although we have no knowledge when he wrote it. But I think it probably he wrote it as an old man when he looked back, when he could think about what God had done, how he had helped and blessed and strengthened him, how he had established the kingdom, how he had defended him against the enemies, all that he had done. And he could say, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. There may be old men like myself. You're not allowed to call yourself a pensioner any longer. You're a senior citizen. Well, that's a euphemism because you're still just a pensioner at the end of the day. But nevertheless, surely there's no one in that age group in this meeting this morning and you're not saved. Am I speaking to someone and you have lived many years upon this earth and you've listened to the gospel many times? Surely there's no one here this morning and you're still unsaved. Oh, I tell you this, if you have lived long and you've heard the gospel many times, and you're still unrepentant, then in God's sight, if you continue on in the state you're in, you will die as a fool dying. Oh, may it not be so. No matter what stage of life we may be in, let us all be able to say with the psalmist, I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever when this life is finished. Let's all be able to say that. If you can't say it, then make sure before you leave this meeting that you can say it. It's very, very important. The second thing I want you to notice is the royal attendance that David speaks of on the way to glory. He says, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. I call them his royal attendants, goodness and mercy. If you look at this psalm from the first verse right down to the sixth verse, he speaks about many of the mercies and the goodness of God in his life. He speaks about God keeping him. He speaks about the Lord providing for him and granting him peace. The green pastures, the quiet waters. And you know, the Lord gives to his people provision. I trust that every Christian takes time every day to look into the provision that God has given to you. This is your meat and your drink. What is symbolized by the green pastures. The sheep feed upon it. Well, here's the green pastures. Here's the word of the living God. I trust, believer, you feed upon it, because if you do day by day, God will help you. God will speak to you. God will bless you. And God will grant unto you the peace that passeth all understanding. Because I have discovered when you read your Bible, you pray. Almost irresistibly, you want to pray. And if you make your requests known unto God, then the peace of God that passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. And you notice how he describes it there, how he leads me in the paths of righteousness. He restoreth my soul. What a blessing that is to every Christian. How we need our soul restored every day. How we need our strength restored every day. And David says the Lord sends his messengers. He sends His royal attendants to take care of that. He restores our soul. He renews our strength. He takes away the sting of death. Oh no, I know that death is an enemy, and there is no use saying anything else about it. It's not something that we in any way look forward to, but nevertheless the sting has gone. And the Lord has delivered us, because we know that absent from the body is present with the Lord. And then He speaks there about preparing a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. And you know, David could look back upon that. And this church can look back upon that. My, if this church was depending upon the world, if it was depending upon the unbeliever, if it was depending upon the Christ rejecter, there would be no church here. But God has defended His people. He has provided for them. He has placed a table before them in the presence of all that may be arrayed against it. And that is the history of our church. Not only in Coleraine, but right across the province. God has prepared a table for us in the presence of our enemies. And our heads have been anointed with oil. And the joy of the Lord has been our portion. And God has blessed us. Now he speaks there in the past. But then he goes on in the last verse to say, as God has done in the past, so He will do in the future. Surely, He said, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. As God has helped me in the past, He will help me in the future. As God has been with me in the past, He will be with me in the future. As God has restored my soul in the past, He will restore my soul in the future while I remain upon this earth. He will help me and He will bless me. Goodness and mercy. The royal attendants sent from the king to his people. You know, royalty, and the higher you go up in the scale of wealth and power, the more servants that they have. But the Christian belongs to a family, a royal family. You remember what the Bible says there in 1 John 3:1. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. And it goes on to say, therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew Him not. Oh, I know the Christian is pitied many places. They just turn up their nose. They talk about these people, pie in the sky, poor souls. And they pity them. And sometimes they mock them. And sometimes they persecute them. But nevertheless, in the sight of God, what a difference. We are His children. We have been purchased by His blood. We have been adopted into His family. We are the citizens of eternity. We are the children of the King. And He sends His royal attendants, goodness and mercy. Every Christian can bear testimony to that. Goodness and mercy has followed me all the days of my life. And my last thought is this. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow. Do you know what that word surely means? Or can we translate it? It means only. Literally. It means only. I could translate that only instead of surely. Only goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Always. Goodness and mercy. Constantly. Goodness and mercy. Somebody says, now listen here, just a minute. What about the real world? What about the days of difficulty? What about the days of trial and trouble and sorrow and sadness? What about the times when the road is steep and the clouds are dark and many things are against us? Well, I would be the last person in any way to minimize the fact that man is born unto trouble as the sparks fly upwards. We all know about trouble. We all know about trial, testings, the chastening of the Lord, all of those things. But there's a great difference between the Christian, the people who can say, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want, The people who have His royal attendance, goodness and mercy. There's a difference between those people and the rest of the world. The Bible tells us there in Romans 8:28, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are the called according to His purpose. What is He saying there? He's saying above all and through all, goodness and mercy. I always smile when I read verse in Genesis 43, a poor old Jacob. Jacob, you know, he cries out in that portion of Scripture there in Genesis 42:36. Me have ye bereaved of my children. Joseph is not, Simeon is not, and ye take Benjamin away. All these things are against me. Now, you must try to place yourself in the position of Jacob when he said those words. Jacob had many faults and failures, and I'm afraid he had many sins to repent of. I think it was W.P. Nicholson said that Jacob was so twisted that he had to screw his shirt on every morning, but I will not go as far as that. But nevertheless, he had many sins, and the Lord chastened him in many, many ways because of them. But when he said those words, all these things are against me, he was suffering a famine. Now, none of us knows what that means. We have never been in that situation. We have never been in a situation where we don't know where the next meal is coming from. You may have seen it on television about other countries and see the dreadful conditions that they live in. But you have never experienced it. But Jacob was experiencing it. And there was only one place you could get food, and that was in Egypt. And in Egypt was a very hard-hearted governor, because when he sent his sons, he asked them all kinds of questions. He accused them of being spies, and he took one of them as a hostage, and he told them the next time they come back, they better bring their youngest brother, they would never see his face. And when they told this to Jacob, he just wondered what on earth was happening to him. He was a Christian, despite his faults and failings. He was a spiritual man. In fact, the Lord is quite happy to own his name with Jacob, the son of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. So I'm not going to say too much about him. But there he was, a child of God, and everything was against him. And he said that, Lord, what are you doing here? Why are these things coming upon me? What is the situation? How's it all going to end? They're all against me. But were they? Were they? Were the circumstances really against them? No. Goodness and mercy was following Jacob all the way. Because that hard-hearted governor was actually his son, Joseph. He would see Joseph again. Simeon would be released. No harm would come to Benjamin. And God would take care of his family. All of these things are against me. No. Only goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. That's not my promise this morning. If it were mine, you could drop it, forget about it. That's God's promise to His people. Am I speaking to a backslider? Am I speaking to someone and because the things were against you, you've given up? The devil has got in. You're sitting in misery here this morning. Oh, I plead with you. Turn back. Come back. Only goodness and mercy will be your portion. God will help you. God will undertake for you if you trust Him, if you lean upon Him, if you follow Him. Repent. Have restored to you the joy of His salvation. And enjoy His blessings and the privilege of being a believer, a Christian, walking in fellowship with the Lord. I do trust that all of us this morning will be able to say these matchless words. Surely, only goodness and mercy shall follow me, attend to me, all the days of my life. And at the end of it, when all is finished, when it's all over, I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. May that be the portion of everybody this morning within range of my voice for Jesus' sake. Amen.